So I'd like to welcome everybody to a special podcast from the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. We're joined today by somebody who is no stranger to the podcast and doesn't really need any introduction, but we will give him one anyway. We've talked to this doctor before about their journey from Canada all around the world to New Zealand and urgent care. We've also spoken to this doctor from the foothills of Everest, having worked up at the highest clinic in the world for the Everest season last year, and also kindly called in to help us with a problem that Santa Claus was having when they came to urgent care last Christmas. So it's great to welcome back Dr. Dinesh Dionarain to our podcast. Welcome back, Dinesh.
Good morning, Guy. Always a pleasure to catch up with you again, and thanks for that very kind introduction.
Well, we're having a chat to you today because we want to talk about a new role that you've had since we last talked to you. It's a role that you've developed and something you wanted to share with the community. So I think the best place to start is if we just ask you, what in a nutshell is your current sort of work situation? And because I'll lead off from there. You were recently elected to the executive committee of the college, so congratulations on that. And what other work are you involved with at the moment?
Well, yeah. Thanks for that. It's been a great honor to be elected to the executive committee, and I'm really interested in the work there and excited about my term. But my current position work-wise is actually now a clinical educator role. And it is essentially a de novo role, which is, you know, purely non-clinical and dedicated to improving standards, clinical standards within the urgent care clinic in Marlborough.
Now, clinical educator in urgent care, Dinesh, is something I've not heard of before. I don't believe the role exists or hasn't existed until this point. So why don't we start by telling us how this role came about?
Yeah, and that in itself actually does have a fairly interesting story. So as you may know, I was working as the clinical director for the Marlborough Urgent Care over in Blenheim. But because it existed at a reasonable distance from Nelson, it was quite a commute to get over there. And as the clinic expanded, so I was there from the start of the clinic, and then as the clinic expanded over the kind of subsequent two and a half years, we were starting to realize that me on a 0.5 position as the clinical director was not actually servicing the need. So we had discussions at an operational level with the CEO, and it was very much a velvet handshake. In the sense that I had agreed with the PHO that it might be the best decision to part ways, and I would step aside in order for someone else to be the clinical director. Now, in a follow-up conversation with the CEO, Beth Hester, we had sort of that kind of napkin sort of conversation where you're scribbling on little napkins, and she had expressed some interest in retaining me in some capacity. And on that napkin, we kind of played out different ideas about what that might be. And one of the ideas was, from that meeting, an educational role, because that was obviously something I had an interest in. And that was really the seed of the clinical educational role. So I left the clinic for a period of several months, and interestingly, in that interim, you know, the COVID outbreak had occurred. I found myself unemployed, which is a bit challenging. But it gave the space and time to actually work on the job description, the parameters of what that position would be, which I sent forward to the PHO as a more formalized proposal. And it was actually from there that the position took root, that seed germinated, and actually we grew a position together through negotiation. And I think it's looking already like it's going to be very much a mutually beneficial situation.
That's fascinating. So what does the role actually entail? What do you do in your new role?
Yeah, and this is where it's quite interesting. The role itself is purely educational. So I don't know of another urgent care center that has a position like this. Now, these positions exist in the district health board. Sometimes they have, you know, specifically allocated nurse educators or other educators. but this is the first I know of in urgent care. So basically my role, as I mentioned, is a non-clinical role, purely towards education. And really it follows a philosophy which I strongly believe in, which is basically if you want quality assurance, that you have to invest in quality improvement. And this is really where the focus of this position is. So I have two people that I supervise as part of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care training program, two registrars at Blenheim. So it will involve focus on their training. They'll get specific dedicated training time with me one-to-one. But it's also much broader than that. It's also the nursing who are there, and we arrange some skill sessions with them and teaching with them. Also, I have open lectures for the staff in general, things about teamwork, things about leadership, basically broader topics that are accessible by everyone. I have, in addition to that, specific audit and strategy meetings that pertain to educational points with the general business manager specifically. And also, I'm involved with the SHOs that are there on rotation on their community attachments to the clinic. And even beyond that, there is the GP community at large, which actually fills shifts at the weekend as part of their contracted arrangement with the PHO, who I assist and will provide teaching for. And as we now live in a kind of a post-COVID world, what I'm trying to do is make all these education sessions, or as many of these education sessions as possible, accessible online and in a recorded format so that people can access them also on their own time. So really that's kind of the breadth of what I'm doing. But as I mentioned, this is very much uncharted waters. So the position itself is developing as we go along.
You mentioned before that your clinical director role was a 0.5 full-time equivalent. What are the hours that you're doing in this clinical educator role, and how's the sort of the structuring of the workload, etc.?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question. You know, because I have a number of other commitments as well too, that was a topical issue for us as we were negotiating the position. And what we kind of landed on is that there could be probably significant gains made even with just one day on site and some provision for some non-clinical time. So what we landed on really was one on-site day, which is Wednesday. So every day I'm actually at the clinic physically, and I have a 6-hour day, which is, as you can imagine, jam-packed, mostly with the meeting and teaching sessions. Outside of that, I do a number of hours of non-clinical work in order both to prepare for those teaching days, but also to work on some of the infrastructure, the database creation, some of the audit requirements, and really to try and grow the position from an infrastructure point of view. So that's really how it's laid out. So kind of, you know, 75% clinical teaching day with about 25% non-clinical in the background, actually kind of to till the soil, so to speak.
And how does that interact with the medical directing side of things? Because you mentioned your role as the medical director before. Is there interaction between the medical director role and this role? Are you working together?
Indeed, yeah. So the organizational structure within Marlborough Urgent Care consists of the clinical director, the clinical nurse lead, and the general business manager, forming a sort of triumvirate, if you will, of leadership, which we refer to as the clinical leadership team. So my position actually intersects with all of them. So I liaise with all of these three essentially clinical leaders on the floor. The general business manager, who obviously kind of oversees the operational management and the operational management of the entire clinic, as well as the two clinical leads, which is the clinical nurse lead and the clinical director. So all those positions I interact with on those different fronts. And we have, thankfully, a very good relationship. Obviously, from my time there as the clinical director, my professional working relationships with all of them is very strong. And I think that forms a very strong basis to move forward educationally.
And it sounds like you also straddle a huge number of different areas. So you've mentioned supervising trainees, but presumably you're also, in effect, clinically supervising, at least, or educationally wise, supervising fellows and all the GPs who might do shifts. You've mentioned the nurses and the other sort of administrative teams and the wider teams. Do you get involved with the radiology department, for example, or these other groups that we work closely with in urgent care pharmacy and those sorts of areas?
Yes, definitely. I think the engagement of as many relevant external allied agencies as possible would be of great benefit to the clinic. I'm under no pretense that I will be able to provide all the education or satisfy all the educational needs of the staff at the urgent care center. So I see that engagement with other agencies as critical to the success of my role. And just as a point of clarification, I don't strictly speaking provide direct oversight for trainees and nurses and other staff at the clinic. But what I'm able to do in this role is to facilitate learning such that those who provide the direct oversight, namely the CNL and the medical director presently, are able to do that more effectively and can also dedicate more of their time to other aspects of their roles. So I think that kind of mutual engagement and involvement with external agencies, first of all, and with the internal clinical leaders really helps to increase overall efficiency in the clinic and definitely stimulates learning across the board.
Now, we mentioned at the start this is a new role. It doesn't exist within urgent care anywhere else, and it required a vision. It required you and the people who were organising this with to have a vision of what this role could provide and what it can achieve. So what do you foresee as being the biggest impact in this role going forwards?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I think the local impact is just basically improving clinical standards within that local environment. And that's really the crux. And really, the person who benefits is the patient. And I think that's the primary benefit. I think there's a very strong secondary benefit, which is basically those who practice and are given the opportunity to learn within their work role, I think actually have much higher job satisfaction. I think they perform better. I think there's a really strong team cohesion. So there's a number of secondary benefits when you look at the big picture and you put those elements together. And really, this is driven by quality. And I think it would be interesting if this idea does catch on for organizations to start to take on board the idea that investing in quality is not an expense, but it is exactly that. It is an investment. You're actually investing in your business, because I don't think there's anyone top to bottom that wants to be part of an organization that offers poor service, that offers poor quality, that compromises patient safety. So things that actually invest in that actively, I think, are very exciting initiatives.
Yeah, it's something I found as I've sort of diversified away from purely working clinically, is that as you, I've benefited from my clinical practice benefits from doing other things, educational things, and getting involved with various different initiatives and ideas. It definitely, I feel the benefit personally, and I think what you're saying in terms of this role, you're sharing that with other people and hopefully inspiring them to follow and develop in a similar vein. So it's certainly something that it's resonating with me, what you're saying here. In terms of, I know that though, inside me, I can sort of say that, but how do you, in order to prove it, you have to sort of measure some benefits. So how do you plan on measuring the benefits and the impact of this role?
Yeah, another very good question. And that's something that was kind of considered from the outset, and it's still in development. A very good friend of mine, Matt Wright, is kind of a whiz when it comes to metrics, and I've definitely been picking at his brain in order to kind of come up with some QI indicators, some audit strategies around the position. Just some figures off the top, which are of interest, though. We're going to probably look at the subjective experience that the people have, clinicians have, when they are getting on-site education. And one of the things we know from the work world at large, the corporate world, is that job satisfaction plays a huge role, and it includes elements like flexibility, work hours, and on-site education. Now, if an organization loses an employee because they're dissatisfied in those areas, the cost that they think it takes to actually replace that person in terms of skills and experience and training before you can kind of ramp them up to that level is about 20%. So there's very much a fiscal aspect to this. We talked a little bit about impact before. Some of the other metrics that we'll probably look at is basically, what is the kind of the net efficiency of the practitioner that it's undergone kind of specific training in different areas? And we're not talking just about being faster. It's about efficiency also speaks, I think, to being better as well, too. So we're going to look at some different quality metrics as well, too. As I said, these are very much in development. So hopefully we'll have a chance at some point in the future to maybe kind of discuss some of the quality metrics that we've come up with and some of the data. I'd like to make that freely available to the College of Urgent Care, because like I said, I think this is probably an initiative that can benefit the membership and ownership at large.
It certainly is a change in perspective. It's a different way of looking at things. And that often is what drives improvement, is when somebody thinks a little bit outside of the box and comes up with a different solution. And if it proves successful, then it will hopefully take over the rest of the country and indeed the urgent care world at large. But in terms of people listening to this thinking, that sounds a really good idea, I'm interested in approaching my organization to maybe explore developing something like this. Do you have advice for organizations that might be thinking of creating a role like this, or even people approaching organizations to moot the idea of this? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, and that's great. I think we could probably take that question, now that I'm just thinking about it, from probably two ends. So let's start from the organizational end, and then we can maybe start from the aspect of the practitioner that might be interested in something like this. I think from the organizational side of things, I would probably maybe distill that into maybe three kind of points. And I think the first one would be really invest in your staff. And I think when you look at corporations that are wildly successful, things like Google, other Silicon Valley companies, they really actually invest in the staff. They look at aspects of work which are flexible. They really look at elements of job satisfaction, and that doesn't always mean remuneration. I think it would be valuable for organizations to always remember that their staff are not simply widgets that are inserted into a clinical machine. They are highly trained, effective, thinking, empowered professionals that if you invest in them and treat them as such, that the benefits are exponential. So I think that would be the first point, really invest in your staff. I think the second point is to encourage organizations to investigate this on their own, to look at organizations in different areas where they have kind of on-site training and teaching and look what their metrics are. They may be even organizations outside of healthcare, but they could provide you with valuable data. I know that's something that I looked at as well. And I would say also just discuss, I mean, I'm happy to have my contact details included in the show notes so that people, if they wanted to discuss how this is rolled out, people who are maybe owners and part of organizations and are interested in setting something up like this, I'd be happy to have conversations with them around this and share information and experiences as well too, in the hopes that this might be something valuable. From the point of view of an individual who might be interested in more an educational role, I would say just keep an open mind. Don't be your worst enemy. Don't believe that something's not possible just because it hasn't been done before. I think there's plenty of good examples out there. And I was in conversation with a number of people, including yourself, Guy, about how most of the senior urgent care doctors that I know told me point blank that a position like this would never get off the ground. And fortunately, I'm the type of person that loves hearing that, because the word impossible, I always like to at least at the very least challenge it. So I'm hoping, this is something that will be a benefit to individuals, and at least put it on their radar as a possibility, or even maybe even grow it into other directions. And I think that's what's exciting about ideas, is sometimes they take on a life of their own, and sometimes they're even moved in directions that you don't even anticipate from the outset.
So it's your explorer nature, your desire to look at a mountain and say, I can climb that. You're that sort of person. You're not the sort of person who sits at the bottom and goes, that looks like a pretty mountain, but I'll just stay here and carry on doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Maybe my mountain climbing days are starting to get behind me now. So maybe I'm definitely looking at the mountains in different ways.
So as you say, you're happy for people to get in touch with you and talk this through, because different organisations might address things differently in different parts of the country, because that's one of the features of urgent care in New Zealand, is that it's all run out of private clinics with owners and people who have a lot of considerations, but they're staffed by people like ourselves who have, first and foremost, I guess, our clinical concerns when we're working are our priorities. So it's there may be different ways of approaching this, but I think what's interesting from your perspective is that you had the idea, and despite people thinking, well, it might not get off the ground, you've persisted, you've approached it methodically, and you put together a plan and talked it through and explained where you saw the benefits, and it's come to fruition, and hopefully with the right metrics and the right data, you can prove that it's beneficial and continue to grow it. So I think it's very exciting, and I applaud you for taking that initiative, because it can be tricky once you've completed your training to think, where does my urgent care career go from here? And it sounds like you're forging something new, and it will benefit all of us in the future. So I definitely congratulate you on that one.
I appreciate that. And I think it would be very apropos really to acknowledge the people who have supported the position. These ideas don't take root. They don't germinate or take root without people who are engaged and supportive of this. So I'll just mention a few. I mentioned Beth Tester, who is the CEO of the Marlborough PHO. It was she and I who kind of, you know, bounce back the idea between each other. It's been very strongly supported by Sue Allen, who is the general business manager of urgent care, and obviously the clinical leads, Rebecca, Doreen, and Megan Bailey, who at Urgent Care Center, who are all obviously been very strongly supportive of this as well. And the staff at large in the clinic as well, too. I think there's a fantastic complement of staff at the urgent care. I've always felt that, even from my time as a clinical director. So I think it always pays to recognize that an idea is one thing, but sometimes it just exists on a napkin. What it really takes is that kind of support and engagement of the other people around you to really drive forward an idea. So I really can't kind of laud them enough for having kind of the tenacity and the open-mindedness to get behind an idea like this.
So this is the beginning. We've outlined where this is going, and I think it will be worth catching up with you over the coming months and years to see where things are going and to see how things are developing and engage with our urgent care community in the future on this more, Dinesh. But for the time being, thank you for introducing us to this new role and explaining how you went about setting it up, and I wish you good luck, and we'll catch you again in the future.
Thank you, Guy. Always a pleasure, and I hope to have more good news about this position for you in the future.